Honor, Shame, and Death by Brad Miner. Costard. Oh, they have lived long on the alms basket of words. A marvel thy master hath not eaten thee for a word, for thou art not so long by the head as honorific abilitudinitatibius, thou art easier swallowed than a flap dragon. From Love's Labor's Lost, Act 5, Scene 2, I begin by drawing the reader's attention to that nearly impossible to pronounce and unfamiliar word Shakespeare puts in the mouth of a country bumpkin. Costard is a go-between for swells at the court of Ferdinand, King of Navarre, who have sworn off the company of women. Love's Labor's Lost is a comedy, so you can guess how honorably the gentlemen adhere to their oath of chastity. Oh, and a flap dragon. Samuel Johnson, in his dictionary, explains a play game in which they catch raisins out of burning brandy and, extinguishing them by closing the mouth, eat them. Great fun, I suppose, especially in a chilly parlor on Christmas Eve. Some fingers were burned. Brandy dulled the pain. Honorific abilitudinitatibius, to make linguistic matters worse, is a hapax legomenon, i.e. a word that appears just once. Hapax legomenon, italicized because it's Greek, is defined in the shorter Oxford Dictionary this way: a word, form, etc., of which only one recorded instance is known. Honorific abilitudinitatibius, an English neologism, so not italicized, appeared originally in Shakespeare's comedy, making it also a coinage. And it means honorableness. So, it's not really, as Costard seems to suggest, a thing that could actually be eaten, although an actor who plays the role might easily choke on it. But Costard might also be suggesting that, as a man might swallow his pride, he could also swallow his honor. In either case, there should be a kind of burning worse than flaming raisins. Surely, shame is among the fires of hell. It's a feeling most of us know if we are not saints. Although men and women who have burned with shame have sometimes become saints. Honorific abilitudinitatibius is the longest word in the Shakespeare canon and is the longest word in the English language in which each consonant, save the last, is followed by a vowel. Now, to live without honor is a shameful thing. To aspire to honorableness is to feel shame whenever one falls short. Indeed, the Greek and Latin words used to refer to sin, respectively hamartia and peccatum, mean to miss the mark or fail to reach the goal. I know the heat of shame for reasons I'll not disclose, although years have passed since I last deserved it. I have, however, occasionally been embarrassed. That's hard to avoid, and anyway, is just a mild and passing tinge of red in the face. As the Lord said, those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. A thing often found in Victorian and earlier literature is the chastisement by someone of an unrepentant sinner. Sir, do you have no shame? Shameless is a word sometimes used these days with a wry smile and a shake of the head and meant as a qualified compliment. The sort of thing you say to a buddy who just ordered a third martini or a second slice of chocolate truffle layer cake. Honor conquers shame by making sin and crime unappealing. Honor begins with self-respect and respect for others. And when it's wedded with faith, as is the case with Christian martyrs, it's a gateway to heaven. In Shakespeare's Richard II, Thomas Mowbray, the Duke of Norfolk, unjustly accused of murder and exiled, stands before the king. My dear, dear Lord, the purest treasure mortal times afford is spotless reputation. That away, men are but gilded loam or painted clay. A jewel in a 10 times barred up chest is a bold spirit in a loyal breast. Mine honor is my life, both grow in one. Take honor from me, and my life is done. Then, dear my liege, mine honor let me try. In that I live, and for that will I die. Bold emphasis added. No honorable Christian runs from danger, although not because fear of death evaporates. We have bodies, and instinct demands self-preservation, which is why no man ever commits suicide by holding his breath. The point is that cowardice is dishonorable. As G.K. Chesterton wrote in Orthodoxy, courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. He that will lose his life, the same shall save it, is not a piece of mysticism for saints and heroes. It is a piece of everyday advice for sailors or mountaineers. It might be printed in an alpine guide or a drill book. This paradox is the whole principle of courage, even of quite earthly or quite brutal courage. A man cut off by the sea may save his life if he will risk it on the precipice. He can only get away from death by continually stepping within an inch of it. A soldier surrounded by enemies, if he is to cut his way out, needs to combine a strong desire for living with a strange carelessness about dying. He must not merely cling to life, for then he will be a coward and will not escape. He must not merely wait for death, for then he will be a suicide and will not escape. He must seek his life in a spirit of furious indifference to it. He must desire life like water and yet drink death like wine. Now, there's nothing more I need to say about honorific abilita nititibius, except this, speaking of death. No honorable person kills a son or daughter through abortion.